And in this case, it had nothing to do with me, because some people, whenever I would call them speaking Norwegian, they would be like, oh, wow, this is so nice. You're from Lithuania, but you speak Norwegian, and this is so good, you know, like applause that you're putting effort and you're trying. And so this is about the attitude. And so in life, a lot of things, when some people are saying some things about other people, about us, it is more of the reflection of how they behave, how they think. It's more, it says more about them, I think, than the person that they are speaking about.
Podcast. Prio ich und du, we switch in English, is the international version, the developed version of that. Last episode, we spoke about Soprana and what is behind, what is HR and not mafia, right? And now we are coming back on the things, how you can develop yourself, change your mindset and so on. And Diana, thank you again for your time to record this episode and take a look a little bit more in the past. So, before we solve or say the answer about this, how you come on the stage in front of 3,500 participants, women in this case, and you show your way and how they can find themselves, how we can imagine how you started Soprana Personal and why?
I was a student.
Okay, next
in
question.
University. Yeah. I was a student in university, and I had the choice either to write a thesis or business plan. And I'm a very practical person. I was 22 years old, and I thought of, okay, I will just do what's more practical because it's more interesting. And so I did. I wrote a business plan. I defended it. Where the name also was created, Soprana, and nothing related to mafia is the leading voice, Soprana, and my name in combination. So, and then my father has been encouraging me, Diana, start the business, you can do it, you can do it, go for it, you know, and so on and so on. And I did start. It was that I found my first clients through someone who referred me, one through another, word of mouth, so to say. And then I also had the first lesson that instead of earning 1 million, I had my clients go bankrupt after half a year of working there. I learned the never keep all the eggs in one basket rule in reality. And it was also a lot of lessons in the very beginning. So, you know, like some people are imagining that business just drops from the sky and it's like nothing to do. And just like some people are saying, oh, you know, you just go there and you do it. It's a lot of things that you go through as an entrepreneur. It's economic changes. It's betrayals. Sometimes it's also when you're a person that you trusted a lot, maybe even can be a family member, takes down, deletes some documents when leaving and so on and so on. So it can be a lot of such things that you don't prepare for and cannot see all of this in the beginning. I remember also when I was calling to one potential client, cold calling, and I call and I feel more comfortable speaking in English than in Norwegian. And this person tells me, first learn normal Norwegian, then call me. So, yeah, that was like normal. Come on, we are speaking almost 20 years ago. What was happening almost 20 years ago? So things change, you know, and also there are some features in Norway in the regions about being more nationalistic and so on. But that time this person told me that kind of, let's see, nice way to off. But
Nobody hear it. You can say it. It is official. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I call him and they say, hey, you know, in Norwegian. And I was like, I'm so proud, you know, because I can introduce myself in Norwegian and say something in Norwegian. I was learning Norwegian with a teacher. I was attending courses and so on. And his answer was the very best learning curve for me, because he said the second time that I called him and said that, introduce myself in Norwegian and ask him something, his words were, first learn normal Norwegian, then call me. And I was like, understanding, first of all, it was like, come on, I was trying hard, you know, and being polite and so on and so on. It took me to take courage and start speaking up to someone on the other side of the phone in a language that is not native for me. And on the other hand, I understood that this is not my client. And, you know, sometimes it's about being human to human. And it's about understanding. And if a person is willing, if a person has a need, they will go into compromise. And in this case, it had nothing to do with me, because some people, whenever I would call them speaking Norwegian, they would be like, oh, wow, this is so nice. You're from Lithuania, but you speak Norwegian. And this is so good, you know, like applause that you're putting effort and you're trying. And so this is about the attitude. And so in life, a lot of things, when some people are saying some things about other people, about us, it is more of a reflection of how they behave, how they think. It's more, it says more about them, I think, than the person that they are speaking about.
How many languages you speak?
I don't know. I have been studying, but speaking and studying, that's, I would say, now I would say different things, because I have not used those languages.
Or better, so how much language do you study, or how, where you can jump in and do the same?
Okay, Lithuanian, Russian, English, Norwegian, Italiano. I was also studying Spanish, French. That's the most difficult language, the most I could not like.
So in total, 6 to 7, right?
Yes, and German. Or do we don't count that, maybe?
Wow. Dear listeners, please hear this episode again, especially in this part. Just imagine you start a business, or you're fired and start a business. Maybe you are not 20 years old after studying or whatever. And if you have a need to get clients, earn money and so on, and you say yourself, hey, after the second call, this would be not my client. This is what we see today in the social media, yeah, getting magnetic and blah, 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 and all this stuff. Yeah, it's very easy said, but there is much content behind, and also a sensible process or a sensible development. So, but nobody said in the studying, okay, now you started, because when we see it, it is not the normal way. Then study persons, or maybe direct from school, we also see some people, they said, hey, I found my company with 14, with 15, and now with in the middle of 20, I have my first teams and so on and so on. So How he can imagine also for the listeners, how was a little bit this journey, maybe from your childhood? What are the role models in this time for you that you said, okay, this is me, I will go my way, and more or less not more so much parties with my friends or how we can imagine us? Maybe you can share a little bit something.
I had really strict parents, I would say, that were expecting and also putting efforts and, in a sense, controlling that my school grades are good. If needed, I would get some extra help, tutoring, you know, some help from my mother. So it was always my task to be a good student in school, in gymnasium. And even I remember my father has always been telling me, because my first foreign language was English since I was in second grade or something. But even when I was some 5 years, 4 years old, I already remember my father teaching me English language. When I was not, I started going to school like 6.5 years old. Because I was born in March, you know. And I remember that my father has been teaching me to read. And way before I went to school, I already knew how to read. There was a short period of time when I went to kindergarten. And there, what was the most annoying, that I could not play with other children, but I was put by those nannies to read books for the children, for other children. And come on, imagine you come to the kindergarten, there are totally different toys and so on. So you want to do something. And instead of that, you get to like supervise or entertain other children, you know, in books. And it was like such a nonsense that I ran away from this kindergarten. But otherwise, I was a good student, and my parents were quite strict about attending all the parties and so on and so on. When I was a teenager, I was writing articles since I was 14 years old to local newspaper printed articles. And I had a whole bunch of them cut out from the newspapers that I was saving and wanted to show my daughter. Unfortunately, my ex-husband threw them out or put them somewhere. But for me, I was very proud, because it was like, not that everybody can do that or something, you know. So I was singing in a choir. This is where soprano comes from. And I was busy with learning languages. My second language that I started learning, I think it was in fourth or fifth grade, it was German. I was going to the German language courses, not in my school, it was somewhere in town, in the old town. And I remember up until now, it was Simon Dach house. And there was the course, you have to go through the dark, it's in the center, but you have to go through the dark streets, you know, and so on and so on. So I remember myself walking there some evenings in the week to these courses. And at that time, I was thinking like, my father is sending me there, and da, 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 you know, it's so scary, I'm so afraid, because there it's like I'm alone in the city, you know, somewhere, and da, 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 da. And later on, I was thinking, I'm so happy and grateful that my father has been teaching me to do the hard work at home. He was working with building, and he would also get us to help, you know, there as well sometimes. And I'm really grateful that he learned me not to be afraid of hard work, of whatever it is, mental or physical even, you know, that you may never know where in life you get to, what kind of situation, and you need not to be afraid of anything. So whatever challenges you're dealing with, these challenges are bringing you to something greater. It's like otherwise getting out of the comfort zone. So yeah, even walking on the Dark Nights to German language courses. I
Very
now
cool.
see I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Great story. When I take this example, when you're sitting in front of the kindergarten children and read the book, yeah, and leave the room, right? So I understood it. Or leave the kindergarten.
I secretly we were going outside, and my house it was in front of the kindergarten,
Ah, okay.
so I did not say anything to those nannies, and I just went home, you know, because I did not like it there. Just leave, you know. And so I was sitting there on the seventh floor waiting for my mother to come back, and you know, she was going mad. They were looking everywhere for me, but I was just waiting at the
Wow.
door by the apartment.
Yeah. Great. And but you don't do it in now. You don't leave the stage. Yes.
No, I don't leave
Exactly.
this.
So let us jump in this starting topic, or let us take a look. Is yeah. When I see you in conferences and presentations, that is very on point. You catch the audience and so on. But there's a little secret behind,
That I
right?
was off the stage.
Huh?
That I was afraid of the stage. Yeah, it was somehow something happened when I was in my last years of school. And when I was on the stage, I got scared or something. The voice disappeared and I could not sing. And then it was staying with me for some, I don't know, 10 years. And now, maybe 8 years ago, I have joined BNI. And I remember at that moment when the first BNI chapter, BNI is a networking organization, international one. And when I have attended one meeting in other city, I was asking, when is it in my town? And I remember I saw on Facebook that there is an event that they are launching the chapter. I got there, I signed up, I paid this fee. And when regional director at that time, who was launching the chapter, he asked like, who wants to be the president? I was like, no, 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 Diana. And it was like, and I was like, Diana. It's like, you know, you have
And
the
then it's
devil, the angel on the
yeah.
and so one side of me wanted to fight over this fear of public speaking, because I had somehow convinced myself probably that I have it. And in the very beginning, I remember, and it was the very first chapter, we would have 60, 80 people that I did not know at all. And I was the very first president. And I remember standing up there in front of everybody. And, you know, you have the presentation, you moderate this meeting, you need to represent the organization. This is how I see myself, not only myself, but also the whole organization, and you want to do it professionally. And I remember I was preparing a lot. I would put a lot of effort to make it perfect. I would hire a public speaking coach later on even. But at that time, I remember myself that I was standing in front of everyone and trying to memorize those 20 points schedule. And I remember myself standing there and almost fainting, because it was like out of fear. You're like, and you're not breathing. And then suddenly you're like, it's like blue in the eyes, you know,
Wow.
and you're almost like fainting. And then I remember I was going to mindfulness courses, and there I learned the technique body scanning. And somehow it works for me that whenever, even now, I will say feet, my legs, feet, and it's like shoulders relax, everything relax, and then I can breathe. And I remember standing there myself, like almost blue in my face, you know, and not being able to breathe or something, because I'm like, and then feet, and I'm like, pause. And then I'm speaking. So later on, I also noticed that I have memorized the, not the text, but the words that we normally say, and I got bored. And then I hired a public speaking coach. She came to see the meetings that I'm leading, and she set some notes. And then it was that I have met with her and we were practicing what to do, what not to do, and so on and so on. So, and then when I learned that, it was sometime after that I would be making some more presentations. I was also invited to be a speaker on the stage with almost 3,000 women in just a few days before the COVID started. So that was my kind of test, how I can handle this public speaking better. And there I also remember myself, I was preparing for a few months for this presentation on the stage. I wanted to make it perfect, but I also knew that perfection is not only in the slides, you know, but it's also in the head. And what I also learned that when I was there, not to look at, not to look, you can see people who are sitting there in front of you, but not to put meaning to how they, you think you look, they look at you. Because I remember very well, just in front of me, I'm on the stage, there are thousands of people, you know. And I see one lady just in front of me and she's sitting like, and I'm like, what are the thoughts in my mind? Oh my God. And then suddenly, and I'm thinking like, she's bored and I'm speaking nonsenses or what? And then she suddenly starts taking photos of my slides. And I'm like, heck, are there some mistakes or something? Because the more I look at her, the more some nonsense start coming over my head. And I was really not that I was distracted, but I was a bit insecure about this, because in there I saw a lot of famous people that are public people, they are media stars, these are TV anchors, and so on and so on. And I was the only speaker on the stage in this conference that was not some public person. But then when accidentally I met someone on the plane who is like for some 30 years, one of the best recognizable known person here. And I just run into the airplane and I see him sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, he's sitting just by my seat, you know, just the two of us nearby. A lot of empty places, but yeah, we're sitting together. So, and then I said to him, you know, I have also been the speaker there, if you remember. And it was so scary because I felt like I don't have the support, but he said, you also don't have the haters. That's a curse for people, for things. But also what happened after this presentation, I had that woman who was sitting there, who I was thinking she was judging me, you know, or something. I did not even know what to think, what can be wrong, but something, you know. And that woman who looked like judgmental to me, she came up to me and she was like the first in the line of people who wanted to come to talk. And she said, your presentation was the very best presentation. I loved it. Can I reach out to you? And so on and so on. And for me, it was the best learning. Don't put in your head what other people might be thinking of you, because you cannot get into their heads. One thing. Another thing for me, it was also something to work on myself. And I'm very grateful for this woman who was looking at me like, oh my God, it looked like that, you know. But yeah, sometimes the biggest haters, or those who we think are haters, can be the ones who are giving us the most lesson, value, and showing the point where we can work on. So yeah, this is the story how I got on the stage, because I was very, very much scared of it.
Wow, the podcast going further. It's only sometimes what I know. Thank you again for the reminder that I sometimes speak a little bit fast because time is endless on this earth, right? And so I think sometimes it's better to speak a little bit more faster to save some time. But what is the influence or what is the understanding of my opposite is the first thing. And yeah. Thank you for the insights, especially to your person and how you develop yourselves. There was much very valuable things behind all where the people can reach you out. We will do in the description. And next week, we will take a look in the future. How develop human resources, how Diana can help you or somebody who know you know. And the company for teams, for the right places, maybe also implement some AI. And here the short shout out also for the podcast Hotel Soprana. We put it in and we see us next week. Last words for the day.
Thank you for being with us.